Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful people on Colorful Radio. Welcome to Colorful People with Kofi and Florian. This time we have Miranda Braun, who is an investment banker and a stockbroker since 1998, who went into investment at the tender age of 18. Miranda has worked for the biggest sexy banks in the city. She has degrees in law and business and also holds an MBA. Miranda is also a qualified barrister and founder of Pluto Law and many more.
Welcome to Colorful People, Miranda.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, you brighten up our day.
It's very kind, thank you.
It's the first time I understand you've been at Colorful. I can't understand why not.
I have no idea. I'm sure I'll be a regular now.
I hope so. welcome to Colorful People. Now, you entered finance at 18. At 18, I was probably on the streets playing silliness, I think. How did you manage to do that at 18?
Well, I've really got to thank my parents for that, because they were the ones who pushed me into that area. So my mother helped me get my first interview and I got the job. And that was the start of my banking career. So I literally started that after my A-levels. And I really have just progressed from that. And I've always stayed in investment banking.
What happened between 18 and, let's say, 25?
A lot of work, okay. A lot of study. So at the age of 18, I entered banking, as I've mentioned. And then after a few years, I realised that lots of my friends were at university. They were due to leave with a degree and I didn't have one. So I then commenced my degree in the evenings. And that's pretty much what I did for a good 10 years. I balanced work and study at the same time.
Because I found out somewhere that your entry into the legal profession was unconventional. What does that unconventional mean? You got into the profession?
So the conventional route to get into banking or law or any professional industry, you would usually go on and get your degree after your A-levels. You would do that full time for 3 years. Then after that, if you wanted to, for example, go into law, you would then have to go on to law school and do your postgraduate law qualifications for that. Then after that, you would need to get a training contract or a pupillage, and then post that. Hopefully someone would give you a job, and that's usually the conventional route. And then you might work for a law firm for a few years, and then after a few years you might jump into an in-house investment bank, and then you end up where I am today. Now, my route was very unconventional. As we've already mentioned, after my A-levels I didn't go on to do my degree. Well, I did, but I spent a few years getting experience and then juggling my degree. Then I went on to business school, got my MBA, then I went on to law school, qualified to be a barrister. In between that, I also became a sales trader, so I did my banking exams. There was a lot of things that I did in between that. I also did public speaking, Lambda exams. So I got up to my bronze medal stage there. There were so many different things that I did. I was learning Spanish. And I think when you're in your 20s, the advice I would give to the next generation is don't waste a moment. I literally was head down. I was very focused. And yes, I did have fun. I did go out. But I was very focused on the end goal. And I knew what my end goal was, and I worked very hard, because in the 20s you've got lots of time, you've got lots of energy, and what you do with that will be very important in terms of your future success. So that's pretty much my unconventional route. You know, I worked in investment banking and I started working in a legal department, and that's pretty much how I've been able to use my experience. But I started at the bottom. So at the age of 18, I didn't end up in the front office. I didn't end up in legal. I worked in operations, which is the back office, administration. Then I moved my way up into middle office, did a bit of project management, then moved into front office. So I really networked like crazy. I had great mentors. My parents were my first mentors, and they still are my mentors today.
Fantastic to hear that.
Absolutely. And they were the ones who opened the door and helped me get into banking. And I know there's lots of people from the Black community, from the BAME community, who don't really have that. They don't have that guidance. And I think it's wonderful in today's age that we've got lots of successful professionals from a BAME background who are out there sharing their story and helping to inspire the next generation, and also helping to mentor or sponsor or speak on panels, whatever that might be, to help. I mean, what I also try to do is mentor the next generation as well, and I've got a few mentees. I speak at various engagements to help inspire the next generation so that they can see that there are people that look like them or from a BAME background that, you know, are barristers, that are investment bankers, and it isn't just white middle-class males that have those positions. So I think it's really important to keep reinforcing that and to have a platform like Colourful Radio where you can actually broadcast that out to a larger forum, I think is great. So hopefully today we'll help to inspire.
You know, Miranda, you can come back here any day, anytime.
Thank you.
But I'm exhausted already just listening to the stuff you did from age 18 onwards. You know, how do you find the time? How do you go from, what's it called, starting the back office, as you say, to now becoming one of the most respected CT people in the UK? And you know something? Let's hold that thought. We'll come back. We'll take a break now.
Okay.
And we'll come back in a while.
Colourful people on Colourful Radio.
Welcome back to Colourful People with myself, Florian, and
Kofi.
And this time we're in the studio with Miranda Braun, who has a massive list of different roles, projects that she's working on, etc., etc. And there was two other things I forgot to mention: is she is also a patron of the Black British Academics and also has an active interest in the board of the Black Cultural Archives, which is the first and only UK Black History Museum.
And in fact, she's also part of the CTAM Women in the City Power list. She's featured in there, in fact. And Miranda, before we went to the break, I was saying how exhausted I was. Just, you know, looking at your achievements, the stuff you've packed in a short period of your life is a lot more than a lot of us do before we disappear off the earth. How do you manage all of that?
I've been asked this question so many times, and I think I've naturally got very high energy levels. But I think if you're driven and you're passionate, you will find the time. So for me, I don't really watch much TV, whereas I know there'll be others who will watch a few hours each evening of TV. I would rather, especially during my 20s, I was a sponge, I was learning in work, out of work. And I think you can really make time for the things that matter. And for me, my focus was to learn as much as possible, get as much qualifications as possible, because I was mindful that when I entered the banking industry, and when I entered, I was on a similar graduate program. And I can recall around the table on the first day that I started a big US investment bank, one of the biggest today, and there was about 10 of us around a table, and I was the youngest.
You can name them if you want.
Well, it was JP Morgan. But at the time, they were called Morgan Guarantee Trust. So we're going way back now. I'm giving away some of my age.
That's going back, what, to the 80s or 90s?
I'm not the 80s. I'm not.
Well,
90s. No, 90s, yeah.
Okay.
So I can just recall there were like master's degrees, PhD degrees, first degrees from Oxford flinging around the desk. And I had my A-levels. And I think, you know, I was sitting next to a lawyer. And dare I say, I was slightly intimidated, and I promised myself that one day I was going to have a lot of qualifications and I was going to be just as qualified as everyone else around that table, so that the next time I was in a room in that situation, I would also have my master's, I would also, you know,
fantastic,
have my lawyer's degree. And I think especially when you're the only person of colour around that table as well, and you're the youngest, you know, I was really thrown in at the deep end, but it was sink or swim, and thankfully I knew how to doggy paddle, so the rest is history.
Let's move forward a bit then to what you do these days. Now, you're on the circuit. Everything that's happening in the city, I see your name attached to it. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, one of the main things that I'm very passionate about and I'm helping to drive through is diversity. And I think anyone in the city, they've clearly come across the term, the new buzzword, diversity. And, you know, I've been involved in diversity for 15 years now, and my first involvement was when I was working for a German investment bank, Deutsche Bank, and they had their women's networking group. Then I moved on to Goldman Sachs and joined their women's networking group, and then I went on to JP Morgan. And so I'd left JP Morgan, and then I returned again a few years later. And so at that point, I really became more engaged in the diversity group, and I ended up chairing their Black networking group, and that really was to help the progression of the Black employees within JP Morgan, because at the time my first mentor was the only Black female MD in Europe, and so I immediately...
Who was that?
Carol Lake.
Oh, of course, yes.
So as soon as I realized that, I you know, called her up and said, would love to meet with you. And the rest is history. She became my mentor and she was wonderful throughout my time and also post JP Morgan. So that for me was key. And she was one of the sponsors for the Black Networking Group. But one of the things that I launched was a mentoring and professional development program because I wanted to get to VP and I got to VP. And I was looking around
VP
me,
Vice President, yes.
And so I was looking around and there were, you know, other people of colour who were a lot older than me in their 40s and they were still at junior levels. And so I couldn't comprehend that. Some of them, I must admit, did say that they didn't want the promotion, they didn't want the extra responsibility, they just wanted a job to go in 9 to 5, pay their bills and that was it. But there were others who definitely wanted to progress. So that's why I pretty much launched the mentoring program, and because I had access to lots of senior MDs, I pretty much was tying the two together, and that's what I did for a few years while I was at JP Morgan, and that really was the start. Good 15 years ago, that was the start of me actively getting involved in diversity and not just attending various, you know, events and discussing diversity, but actually getting hands-on, getting my hands dirty and trying to help with this. So fast forward 15 years, and over the last few years, what I have been doing is trying to bring race diversity to the forefront. And in terms of my work at the Black Cultural Archives, what I want to do is just say it's an absolute honour and privilege to be part of the board there. And I joined in October 2014 as their head of fundraising, their corporate fundraising.
This was ahead of the launch, wasn't it? Was it ahead of
this? This was after the launch. So they launched their £7 million Grade 2 listed building in July 2014, and it was wonderful. And then I'd been in contact with the, we'll call it the BCA, the Black Cultural Archives, the BCA. I'd been in contact with their chair, Dawn Hill, and I'd actually met her at a JP Morgan Black Networking Group, where they had Baroness Doreen Lawrence come and talk about her new charity, the Stephen Lawrence Trust. And that's where I met Dawn Hill, and she introduced me to the BCA, and we kept in contact. And then she said, you know, I'd love for you to join the board. And I did in October 2014. And my role was really, because I've got access to corporate contacts, it was to help introduce the corporates to the BCA so that we can help with the growth and sustainability of this wonderful organization. And I would recommend, if anyone listening has not been, I would definitely recommend to go. It's in Windrush Square in the heart of Brixton. And then May 2015, about 6 months ago, I was elected to become the vice chair of the Black Cultural Archives. So post that, thank you very much. So post that, one of the things that we have recently done during Black History Month, UK Black History Month 2015, was to launch our new Black Cultural Archives sponsorship diversity initiative in the City of London. Bit of a mouthful, but yeah, it's basically an initiative that the Black Cultural Archives have launched to help increase race diversity within the corporate sector. At the same time, not only are we going to help increase race diversity, but this will be through our sponsorship initiative, where corporates can help sponsor the Black Cultural Archives to help us with our funding so that we can help to grow in order to help the corporates increase race diversity. So one of the things that we did, and I led the initiative, was to launch in the City of London. And reason being, lots of my senior contacts in the corporates, who are at an influential level to determine where the funds go, they pretty much, some of the comments were, oh, Brixton, it's too far. So I thought, well, okay, if Brixton's too far, for now, what we can do is bring Brixton into the heart of the City of London. And and because of this event that we did, it launched on the 14th of October 2015, and we held the event at Faskin, which is a global law firm. So they did an amazing job there. And we had our patron, Chuka Uma, MP of Streatham. He came to give a keynote talk in terms of why he's passionate about increasing ethnic minorities, not only within the boardroom, but within the corporate sector. And on the panel, we had Imran Khan, who is very well known for the Stephen Lawrence case, and he's a very well-known human rights lawyer. So he was on the panel. We also had Nicholas Cheffins, who is global chair of Hogan Lovells, and he's very active in the diversity space in the City of London. And for me, it was really important to have a diverse panel, not just to have a pure black panel, but it was very important for me to have an Asian representative, a black representative, a white male representative, Because in order for us to progress from a diversity perspective, we need to have our white male champions helping not only to increase gender, but also race diversity. And I'm a big supporter of all the other diversity initiatives as well, whether that's age, disability, sexual orientation. But for me, I really want to help push race diversity to the forefront. So I was the moderator to help us not only discuss what are the challenges, because I think we talk a lot about this, but in the last 10, 15, 20 years, there has not been enough action. There is not enough people at the boardroom level. When you look at the FTSE 100, we only have 4 ethnic minorities on the board, and we're in 2015. So, I mean, I've been hailed in this new diversity league table for 2015. Yes, indeed, yes. As the new face of the corporate world, which is a huge honour. And there are other influential BAME lawyers within this publication. So you can read other interviews to help inspire yourself, and also whether you've got children, and even if you are of a mature age. You know, there are so many organisations out there that are gearing towards apprenticeships for people that are over 50 plus. So when I talk about age diversity, I'm not just talking about the graduates and the youngsters that are trying to get in. I'm also talking about people that are in their 50s and 60s. We're living a lot longer, and there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of experience out there. And I hear through the grapevine and also through my networks how, you know, the older generation are having difficulty finding work or getting promotion once they get to a certain age. So they're not at enough hours in the day. I would love to help every single diversity cause, but for me right now, it is purely on race diversity. And there is a very strong business case in terms of increasing race diversity. When you look at gender, we've got so many initiatives. They're doing a great job in terms of increasing that. We've got the Davies Report, where in 2010 there was a target set to increase the gender diversity within the corporate boardroom by 25%. We're nearly surpassing that, and that has now increased to 30%. And this was supposed to be achieved by the end of this year. Now, if we applied the same to race diversity, I'm sure we would be able to make progress a lot faster. So when you look at the statistics, there's a new McKinsey report, and I don't want to get too technical here, but there's a new McKinsey report out there, and it was launched at the start of 2015. And when you look at the statistics, the business case there is, if you increase gender diversity, it will increase your revenue by 15%. If you apply the same from a race diversity perspective, if you increase BAMEs in the workforce, more importantly, within the boardroom, it will increase your revenue by 35%. So it makes financial sense to put race diversity at the top of the boardroom agenda. And that's what I'm trying to help.
Well, Miranda, we're very pleased to hear all of that. And at this point, I should be saying to number 10 and everyone else listening, it's about time they hired you, in fact, because I think, you know, the Prime Minister's office could do with someone like yourself. Haven't heard all the rhetoric, you know, over the last few years.
Yeah.
But that was your experience, and certainly the wonderful stuff you do in the legal world, the city itself, of course, the finance world, and also the arts world with Black Cultural Archives. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we want to know about your work in the education field.
Colourful
people on Colourful Radio. Welcome back to Colourful People with Florian and
Kofi.
This time we're in conversation with Miranda Braun.
Before we took the break, in fact, you were telling us about your work in the arts, education and the arts, if I can call it that.
Yes.
And especially Black Cultural Archives. Tell us a bit more about the Black Cultural Archives and your work there.
Yeah, so in terms of the Black Cultural Archives, it is the first Black British heritage centre within the UK. And the mission is to collect, preserve and celebrate Black British history. And I don't think it's celebrated enough. So the aim of this wonderful organisation is to highlight all the things that Black British people have done in the history to help make the UK what it is today. So it's a wonderful place where you can explore, learn and inspire not only yourself, but the next generation. And it's for all different ages, all different races, classes. You don't have to be Black and UK to go to the centre to learn about the Black British history. This is one of the things that I encourage, and I encourage everyone from all different religions and races to and age groups to really come and learn. It's not just for a certain age group. You can be, you know, retired. And
it's so diverse, even aliens are welcome, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. And we've had wonderful sponsors to help make it what it is today. For example, the Heritage Lottery Fund, the London Borough of Lambeth, the Mayor of London, so many others. Check out the website, and you can, if you just Google Black Cultural Archives, you will definitely get more information in terms of what we do and what we're about, the team. The director is Paul Reed. I've mentioned that the chair is Dawn Hill. We have a wonderful team. And there's also a huge archive selection. We have a library. We have a reading room where you can actually go and read about Black British history. We have a shop dedicated to various Black British history books, as well as current autobiographies. There's a cafe, so you can come, you can have a bite to eat.
Oh, wow. And chill.
Absolutely. It's a perfect place to go in Brixton. There's also a courtyard as well that we use for special events. And we also hire out various rooms and also the courtyard for book launches or if you want to hold workshops. So it's a wonderful space. I can't recommend it highly enough to really take some time out to go and visit it. We've also got a new initiative at the moment, which is called Donate 50. And this is our target, where we are looking to raise funds. And the amount is £50,000 by March 2016. And this is to help with the sustainability and the growth of the Black Cultural Archives. So I would definitely recommend to go onto our website or check the Twitter.
I want us to move on now.
Right.
To your work. You're the first patron of the Black British Academics. I want to find out a bit more about what that is. I understand it's a scheme to increase the number of Black professors in the UK.
Correct. So I joined the patron. So basically, how I was introduced to the Black British Academics was when I was a keynote speaker at my business school. They were celebrating their 30th anniversary for their MBA program, and they asked me to be the keynote speaker. So I performed that talk and shared my journey and what I had done with my MBA after leaving business school, because I think a lot of people have qualifications and they don't necessarily always use it. So for me, it was really important for me to highlight, well, look, I've left business school, I've had an MBA, and these are the things that I've done, and I focused on strategic management. So one of the great things in terms of race diversity is change of culture. You need strategic management. You need to have that high level of thinking in order to help change. And one of the things that the Black British Academics highlights is to help increase the number of Black British professors that we have within the UK. It's a very small amount. I think it's barely 90 professors out of, I think, 10,000 professors. Wow. It's just a very minute number. And so at the time, the Dean of the Business School, or of the whole university, said to me, I would love for you to come and say a few words at the launch of the Black British Academics Leadership Forum. So I said, why not? Absolutely would love to. So I said a few words, and then afterwards, the founder and the CEO approached me and said, we would love for you to be the first patron of this organisation. We like the fact that you've got a huge network. We like your passion in terms of the diversity of what you're doing so far. So I then became the first patron for the Black British Academics. And my role is really to help raise the awareness of this organisation and to do whatever I can to help introduce whoever might be interested to help with the cause and the aims for this. And I think it's really important to help increase diversity, not within the corporate sector, but within academia, within the media. There are so many other sectors where we're missing out on race diversity. And that's one of the things that the Black British Academics is helping to achieve. They're helping to achieve race diversity within academia. So I'm very proud once again to be part of this.
What a wonderful revelation. This has been perhaps the most exhaustive colorful people session we've had so far. There is so much you've achieved in your lifetime. So what's next for you, Miranda?
I feel like I'm just scratching the surface, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm just getting started. Keep up.
Why not?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in dreaming big and not to set yourself too many limits. So I'm open to lots of opportunities, and I've been blessed to have so many opportunities come my way. And I think the more you give, I'm definitely a giver. I like to help, and I think the more that you help, it's good karma. The more opportunities that come your way. And so for me, there are lots of things coming up for 2016 and beyond. And one of the things, going back on the Black Cultural Archives, we're going to be doing more Black Cultural Archives in the city events to help increase race diversity. I'll be doing a lot more. Some things haven't been finalized yet, so I can't go into too much detail. No. So you'll be seeing a lot more of me next year. But for me, it's really also focusing on my day job. My full-time job is where I am responsible for a range of products, derivatives, securities financing and regulations for an investment bank in the City of London. So I think people sometimes forget that I also have a full-time job in the city, and there's lots of great things that I want to do within that role. But outside of that, I mean, the list goes on, but this is just a few snippets in terms of what I'm hoping to achieve over the next year and beyond.
Well, with all the projects you've got on your hands, may I add another one, which is whatever you're on, could you bottle that and just, you know, so that the rest of us can just buy into it?
Of course.
Miranda Braun, it's been a revelation. It's been fantastic. I'm dumbfounded. You're a great achiever. You're what we call colourful person. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Our music, our news, our views. This is Colourful Radio.